listening to Chasing Prophecy Radio, where we discuss anything and everything beyond the scope of normal. On UPRN Talk Radio, FM 107.7 in New Orleans and FM 105.3 in Mississippi.
If it's unexplainable, we're talking about it.
Whether you're a believer or a skeptic, we cover everything where the unknown becomes the known. And now, here are your hosts, Jenny Nicasio and Tom Callaway.
Welcome to Chasing Prophecy on FM 107.7 in New Orleans and 105.3 in Mississippi. I always do it. I'm never going to get it right. Well, it's because they had a new one, okay?
True.
Chasing Prophecy, where we discuss anything and everything beyond the scope of normal. I'm Jenny Nicasio, along with my co-host, Tom Callaway. How are you all tonight?
Yes.
Tom, it's been a crazy day, I swear. So bear with me.
You're fine. I hear you.
I went to the DMV today and I had a panic attack. Don't ask me why. I took a beta blocker afterwards and I'm like, now I'm sleepy. So if I doze off, don't, you know, kill me.
I'll pick up and run with it.
But I'm so glad to see you all today. Just to make sure you guys like us, share the link. And I forgot to do that this because I was having a day. I usually share the link. So if you can share the link, that would be great. And I'm hoping to have more people in the chat today. So don't be shy. Post in the chat. I mean, come on, guys. We need you to post in the chat and get this, you know, conversation going. Look, we don't have anybody in the chat yet. Oh, what the heck's going on?
Come on, guys.
So anyways, yeah, come on, guys. Definitely share the link. We broadcast on 8 different platforms, including SoundCloud, Spotify, iHeartRadio, multiple other ones. Not just the United States, Tom, but we do everywhere.
International.
Israel, Russia, you name it. We're out there. So don't be shy, guys, because we have a really cool guest today. And I just want to tell you a little bit before I give it to Tom to introduce her. So we're all fascinated, and I know myself always think about what happens to us when we die. And lately I've been thinking about that a lot because there's a lot of shows. I'm a follower of Angel TV, and they have a new one called Life After Death. So this is going to be a good topic today. And I just want to let you all know that this is going to be, you know, real. So if you have a question or comment, a lot of people want to know about what happens after you die or having a near-death experiences. Yep. So I'm going to go ahead and give it to you and I'll bring your
absolutely own. And you know, Jenny, I am one too that wants to know. I'm the spoilers type of guy. I want to know what happens at the end of the movie before I watch the movie, right? So I definitely want to know where are we heading to?
Yeah, really, where we're heading to. That's hi, Michael.
Yes, hello. There's the people. They were a little groggy, but they're coming in now.
I'm glad, Michael, that you're here to support us. And Cindy, I'm glad you're here every week after that. Yeah. So make sure you tell your friends about it. It's going to be an interesting show. So are you ready to do your introduction?
Absolutely. I'm very excited to do this introduction.
Go for it. The floor is yours, my dear.
All right. Today we have a wonderful guest, Kathy McDaniel, who's the author of the memoir Misfit, In Hell to Heaven, Expat. So she shares her experience and hopefully she'll talk to us about her messages, and she's been a guest on various other media, and hopefully we can talk about her NDE or near-death experience. I was a latecomer to know NDE was near-death experience, but now we do. So we'll talk about her memoir, her book, and her wonderful, wonderful story. And you know, there's so many questions that are bubbling on the top of my head that are causing a block here. But first of all, thank you, Kathy, for being on the show. And it's our pleasure to have you.
Well, absolutely. Thank you, Tom and Jenny. I'm very happy to be here.
I'm so glad you're here because we have a lot of questions for you.
Yeah, I love the giraffe before we get started. That's a wonderful little decorative item in the background there.
Anybody can have a cat, right?
Oh, yeah.
Who do you know with a giraffe?
Nobody. I don't know anybody, but my grandbabies love giraffes.
Yeah, I guess, you know, giraffes, you know, we should never outgrow giraffes. They're always wonderful.
They're always looking out for you.
They are. You know, they really, they can look far ahead. I don't know.
What's that song about? Oh, never mind. I was going to say that one song about Africa. They have a lot of giraffes there. Okay.
Absolutely, well, they do.
Kathy, so where would you like to begin? Would you like to begin? I know I've watched multiple YouTube videos about you. You went and visited a friend and you got ill. You went to help someone.
And I should take it from there, huh? First of all, I guess people need to know I was born and raised a Catholic. So I bought into the religion my whole life. I went to Catholic schools and the nuns and the priests and all that stuff. And I believe the part about purgatory. We were taught that very few people, you know, go straight to heaven. When you die, you know, you got to pay. And even though, you know, somebody died for your sins, there was still a little residual you had to take care of. I believe that. When I did go into a coma for 3 weeks after taking care of my friend, I got really ill and got ARDS, which is acute respiratory distress syndrome or lung failure. Back then, it was we were used as guinea pigs, actually, for the COVID people. They really didn't know how to deal with this. It's a syndrome. It's not something you can throw antibiotics at. So they just were going to try and keep me alive. And last thing I heard was the doctor saying, we're going to give you a white amnesia and where your brain's going to go offline. So you won't be able to remember anything that happens to you while you're in the coma. And any luck at all, we'll see you in a while. You know, and I said goodbye to my family and there was really nothing else I could do. I was just 52, 53 years old. And this was a new experience. So once they gave me the anesthetic, I went out. And I woke up. I had no idea where I was. It was totally black. There was no sound. I wasn't in any pain, but I was really confused. So I just kind of hung out thinking something's going to break. I don't know where I am, but something's going to happen. And eventually I started seeing this reddish glow. And I thought, sun's coming up. And I looked, and as I was peering into this darkness, it started getting foggy, and it was reddish fog, and it was swirling around in an uncomfortable manner. And I started hearing people moaning and shrieking, and it was getting uncomfortably warm. And I thought, this cannot be good. And then all of a sudden, out of the fog came this horrible, creepy voice that said, "Do you know where you are?"
Oh my God.
And my mind was racing and I thought, hell? And then sort of laugh came out and I freaked out totally. And I turned to my left and I ran into the darkness. And I didn't care if I ran into something, I just had to get away from that thing. And what happened after that is best described as a series of segments. I would be in this darkness and all of a sudden these huge bright lights would come up, just kind of alarming. And I would be in a situation that was dangerous, creepy, scary. And I would be in that situation until it came to a point where I had to make a decision to either follow the orders that I was given or say no. And that's the misfit in hell thing. I kept saying no. And I would get sent to another place. The first one that came up was, again, I had no idea where I was, and you don't feel dead. I mean, you're your spirit. You know, I like to liken it to our bodies are a car. We get in the car, we drive around. We are not our car. We get where we're going, we get out, and we're us. Well, that's what your soul is, your spirit, whatever you want to call it. That's you. This is what you're in right now is a temporary housing. So anyway, I'm this lights come up and all of a sudden I'm in this completely like bombed out city and there's people screaming and there's fires and people running around and you know, you just kind of imagine yourself waking up in that situation. Oh, I was terrified. And I thought, yeah. Oh my gosh, definitely I've got to find someplace safe, you know? So I ducked down behind some concrete and then there was weird things that were going by and I weird looked like people out there. It was dim. I could hardly see anything except for like that reddish glow, like there was fires someplace. But eventually I tried to get out and I jumped up to get on over a concrete fence and I fell backwards and I thought, oh Lord, this is going to hurt. And boom, all the lights went out, pitch black. Boom, the lights come up. Now I'm standing there and there's this demon and there's just no other word for it. He looked like Bigfoot, but ugly and unkind and a big stick and... It was interesting because I just froze and I thought, you know, how did I get here? What is this? And what's going to happen to me? Yeah, and yeah. He just leaned over and said, you want to get out of here? And I was kind of shocked because I kind of expected grunting or something. And I said, well, let's play along. I said, yes, I do. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, I've got a job for you. If you take care of it, I'll get you out of here. And I thought, this is so nuts. I'll just say, sure. And so he waved his arms and the lights came up and there was this huge like acreage of blackberry vines, huge vines. And I stared at that and I thought, oh, Lordy, we've got those in Washington. I've tried to get those out of our, you know, backyard and that's difficult. And I kind of looked up at him and he says, all you got to do is cut all that down for me. And then I'll see that you get out. And I thought, yeah, that's impossible. What? And so I thought, well, I've got no other options, no place to go. Sure. So he handed me little scissors they give to kids to cut paper and starts laughing.
It'll take you forever.
Funny guy, yeah. That was the point. And so I knelt down the best I could, getting all scratched up and started gnawing on one of these canes. And I was able eventually to get it to snap off. I went to put it behind me to go to cane number two. And when I turned back around, that thing grew back right before my eyes, 20 feet. Oh. I looked at this guy and he's just belly laughing. It's so funny. And I said, you know, okay, sport, you know, I thought I'm not going to give him the satisfaction. He says, just despair. You're not going to get out of here. This is it. You're here. I said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm a survivor and I'll find a way out of this place. I went back down to start cutting and the lights went out. Then the lights came up. And this happened many times. And there were always bad situations. One worse than the other, usually. One involved a hospital where they were doing terrible things to women and their formerly alive babies. And I was a pro-lifer, and that was like awful for me. Okay. And my job was going to be to help out and to carry the poor little babies from one room to another. And I said, you know what? I did it one time, and I said, I'm not going to do this. This is just not something I'm not going to do. Mm-hmm. And he raised that club. It was another demon guy. And he says, you know, this is just going to get worse. You know, you have got to get with the program. And I said, no. So again, lights go out, lights come up. Another thing that was very prevalent in this afterlife experience of mine was the road. And the road I just landed on one time and it went one direction, like east and west. Who knows where the hell the, you know, directions were. But in ahead of me was just the horizon with the smoky sunrise looking thing. No stars, no moon, no signs, no watch, no GPS. Just kind of thought, well, I'll turn to the right and go down this road. It was just gravel or dirt. And then the landscape was more dirt. Sometimes it got kind of nice. You got a couple of rocks, you know. But most of the time, I just spent looking over my shoulder, looking around to make sure nothing was creeping up on me, thinking, there's got to be a way out of here. I mean, why? You know, how did I get here? I don't know, but I have got to keep going. at one point, just about the last time I had a sense of humor moment, was walking and walking and walking forever on this road, and then thinking that it was just, you know, maybe it's a giant treadmill and I'm not really getting anywhere at all. Something uncommon to distressing near-death experiencers is seeing people that are alive in your experience. First of all, distressing or dark or dangerous NDEs are only about less than 20% of NDEs, which is still a lot since there's millions and millions of people on the planet that's had them. The thing about the distressing ones is we don't like to talk about it. And you can probably understand why. I tried to tell my family, you know, when I got back, and my mother says, "My God, Kathy, what did you do to go down there? What were you up to?" It's like, seriously, dude, I don't know.
I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
No, it gets better. There's a happy ending. I'm smiling.
Yeah, you're here.
I'm here. Yeah, that's a big deal. So it was pretty bad. I'll cut to the chase and get to the end. But I did see, I did see two of my relatives that were alive. So that was another thing that confused me. And I thought, you know, well, why no? What are they doing here? You know, but they were both in very odd situations. They both were really mean to me and wouldn't listen to me, wouldn't help me, wouldn't give me any direction or comfort. They just sent me on my way. There's a lady doing a book on this now. There's so few people that see the live ones, so she's doing a book. Anyway, I finally ran into a bunch of zombies. Everything that could go bad did. It was a very bad, physically abusive situation, and found myself with a female demon. She had more rags on, the rest of them did. And she rounded up a bunch of us ladies that had had this unfortunate experience with these terrible men and told us that we had to follow her. We were going to a new place. So instead of being in this dark underworld kind of spooky place, we were now in this like tundra, nothing but ice and snow. No mountains, no nothing, just snow coming down. And cold as hell is a real thing. We were tromping through the snow. And there's no time, you know. It's always this eternal now. It's just bizarre. It's really hard to describe. But as we were walking, I just remember looking down at one point to see this little trail of, I don't know, there was probably eight of us following one behind the other. And by the when we first started, it was just snow on the ground. But by the time we got where we were going, it was chest high. So you can imagine how cold we were, how tired we were, how despondent we were, and got to this little rundown shack thing that, you know, with no insulation, and the lady demons shoving us in here, and we're sitting on the ground and we're trying to huddle next to each other. And she says, "Okay, now we wait for customers." Dear God, can this get any worse? You know, I was still feeling quite gutsy. I said to her, you know, this has not been a pleasant experience, but, This is about as bad as I can imagine. Is there something going on that I don't know about? And she says, "Well, it's Christmas on Earth. That's always the worst day in hell." And I said, "Hell?" And it dawned on me that was a pretty bad situation. And I thought, well, I'm angry about this, and I'm just going to bug her. So I started singing a Christmas carol. And it was away in a manger, and she didn't like it. And she turned around and told me to shut up. And I kept going, you know, away in a manger, no crib for his bed. And she's screaming, and now the ladies are singing with me, and we get to, and the little Lord, and she shrieked, and she jumped at me, and I closed my eyes, and I thought, well, here we go again. But at least I got out. Well, now the lights went out, and the lights come up. Oh, my God. It was it was unbelievable. I was just filled with this bliss and joy and happiness and anything you can imagine good times a million. And I was just like floating. I felt like every particle of me was just soaked in love. It was just awesome. And I just thought, I want to just stay just like this forever, forever. I don't ever want to be away from this. And it seemed to like settle down a little bit so that I could kind of feel like I was sinking down to a floor, but not quite. It was just like I could kind of see white walls now. And I was kind of confused about it, but I was so happy. I didn't care. And I looked up and I saw my deceased friend, my former fiance that I just spent 9 months taking care of. He died of leukemia a month ago. And now he's standing there and he looks great. Mm-hmm. And he's laughing and he looks healthy and his hair's back and he looks about 35 and he's wearing a sweater I gave him and I'm so confused. And he's just giggling like he just knows his secret, you know, and he's waiting for it to dawn on me, you know, he's not going to tell me. And I thought, oh, criminy, he doesn't know he's dead. And then he really is laughing. And I thought, wait a minute, if he's dead, then I must be dead. And, oh, I said, good grief. I says, this is the best news ever. You know, why are we standing here? And I remember looking off to the side, something caught my eye. And there was this great big like architect's table with a book on it about halfway open. And I remember him saying, you know, telling me something. I couldn't remember what it was. I just remember saying, oh, no, that's going to be too hard. I want to stay here with you. And I looked up at him and that had dawned on me. And I says, come on, let's show me around, all right? You know, please. And mm-hmm. He started walking slowly toward me. And then he just said, oh, Mary Kay, you've got too much left to do. I thought, what? They're throwing me out? And I thought, no, I'm not going. Lights go out. Lights come up. And now there's these people roaming around. And I'm thinking, oh, crap, I'm back in, you know, hell, and I can't move. It's too hot. I can't talk. There's something in my throat. And my daughter turns around and says, Mom's back. And I go, huh? And there's my mom and dad and, you know, son-in-law, and they're all talking at once. And I'm totally freaked out. I don't know what is going on. And she sits down. She's now, Mom, I can see you're upset, but you've been in a coma for 3 weeks. We didn't think you were going to make it. They said you weren't going to make it, but you're back and you're fine. And it's like, no, I'm not. She says, well, you've got a trach in your throat. You can't breathe. I learned a little later. I now weighed 86 pounds. I had no muscle mass left. I could move one finger and blink. And everybody's excited for me. And I thought, oh, my God, I've got too much left to do. Laying in the bed but unable to breathe. And my mom, God bless her, she says, oh, Kathy, we had a prayer circle going around the globe, people praying for you every day. We brought you back. And I said, I thought if I could get my hands on that woman, they brought me back. What type of a thing is that to do to a person? So there I was. And I remember hearing the doctor came in the next day and he says, well, we're just not sure how brain damaged she is, but she'll never work again. I'm 53. I have my own business. She might be able to drive a car. She's going to need to live with somebody. And I'm listening to all this thinking, which one was the worst hell, you know? So it got better. Slowly, very, very slowly. I stayed in the ICU for a month, and then they put me into a physical rehab facility for another month so I could learn how to walk and talk and button and go upstairs and feed myself and all those wonderful things you learn when you're a baby. And my guy I'd been dating, God bless him, he was there every day at the hospital. And when he heard that I could either go live with my mother or go live with my father, he said, I'll marry you. I love you. I couldn't stand the thought you were going to die. So He took me under his wing, and about a year later we got married. And then I had about 10 years wondering what the hell had happened. Scared all the time that I was going to die again and end up in that terrible place. And it wouldn't go away. It was just as fresh year after year after year as it was when it first started. And it took me 10 years. And finally, these synchronicities started falling into place. I met somebody who sent me to a place where they had a speaker that was a medium, and that sent me to someplace else that I ended up in Seattle, which was about an hour away, at an IANDS meeting. That's International Association of Near-Death Studies. And all of a sudden, I'm with all these formerly dead people, and they're just like, it's nothing, you know?
Yeah.
You know, we're the lucky ones, you know? Are you kidding? It's like, I'm listening to these stories month after month, and I'm finally thinking, you know, this is just not my people. You know, I didn't have the rainbows and the bunnies and stuff. And and finally somebody came up and says, you look a little distressed. And I says, yes, I am.
Yes.
And finally they said, well, you know, that only happens to like 18% of the people. So this is great. And I said, what? And he says, yeah, we love to hear your story. Would you come next month? And I said, no. Getting up in front of 100 people and tell them I went to hell. Are you out of your mind? And he says, no, it'd be great. So I was coerced. And the funny thing about it was, finally, you know, after 10 years, being able to share this with people that actually were looking forward to it, you know, and thought it was cool. It gave me bravery, hope, strength to get up there and started off slow, but they were great. They were, by the end of by the time we were in the shack, they were all with me, you know. I thought, my God, their eyes are bugged out. They're on the end of their seats. You know, are we ever going to get out of here? And when we did, literally everybody started clapping. I mean, oh, thank God we got out of there. And that was the beginning of my healing. It was another 10 years meeting other people and finally, one person here, one person there, going to a conference, meeting all these people and some that had written books, and I heard their stories and how they survived and what they meant to them, and how I could put the puzzle pieces together and say, wow, I wasn't sent to hell. I manifested that. I believed that would happen to me. So I went.
We're going to pause 1 second. I just want to let people in the audience who are just joining us, if you have a question for Kathy, please post it in the chat and we'll put it on the screen and she'll answer it. Yeah, so just make sure you all know that we're broadcasting on the UPRN Radio Talk in New Orleans and in Henderson Point, Mississippi, and all over the United States and beyond. So if you have a question for Kathy, please post it. I'm sorry. Go ahead. And I just want to ask you one question, Kathy. Sure. You said you manifested this.
I believe that.
You don't think you really were in hell?
I was in hell, but I made it. I made it out of the 1989 Santa Cruz earthquake I was in, when the entire town fell down and people were running and screaming in fires. I had several, like everybody, I've had some pretty bad experiences in my life, and I brought them all. And I learned from that, when I finally really made heaven, that God is all loving and all forgiving and would never condemn anybody. And in the 20 years since then, especially the 14, I've been up in with the IANS people. I've got a distressing near-death experience group on the IANS their website. And once a month, I have people come in that have had distressing NDEs, and they're coming out of the woodwork. You know, the years they've been carrying this grief and this guilt around, and now they can finally tell us, and we all go, we get it, and encourage them. And they all, I would say, I hate to say this because I always feel a little guilty, but I would say 85% of the people I meet that went to hell, quotation marks, were Catholics. We were taught that was going to happen. And if you believe something strong enough, it happens.
Well, I'm Catholic. I don't think I'm going to go to hell. I hope not.
Good. You're not. You're not going to go to hell unless, you know, you think you deserve it. That's not God doing that. What does happen, and I wasn't there long enough, and I've talked to hundreds of people, and you know, that have the life review. And that's really a, you know, almost pleasant experience. You're there with some, you've got angels and guides all around you. Everybody does. And you're up there with them and they say, okay, let's see Kathy's life. Roll them, you know, and you get to see like a movie of from the time I'm told you're conceived at the time you die. And you get to see everything that happens. The other, they flip it around then. And the not so fun part is you get to experience every interaction you ever had with another human, animal, whatever. So that if I was totally mean to you one day, you really needed some help, and I just told you I was a little too busy for you today, I get to feel your disappointment. I get to feel how hurt you felt with me being that rude. That goes all the way up the chain. I mean, to anybody that who's, you know, murdered or raped or, you know, abused children, you get to feel their terror. You get to feel their pain. That's not God punishing you. That's karma, man. That's you experiencing your own life. The other cool thing I've found is that we plan our lives. I mean, we're all souls. We all belong in heaven. We're part of God. We're part of consciousness. And we choose to learn things, to have experiences. And we can come to Earth. We can go to other planets. We can go to other galaxies. Eternity's large. And each of us NDEers come back with just a little piece of the puzzle. We only get to see just a little bit. Eternity is quite large. And so we just bring back different pieces. And, you know, some things resonate with you and some things don't. But I know now that I planned this life and the things that happened to me for a reason. I've learned that a lot of suffering can bring empathy. You know, if something particular happens to you, I'll give an example. My first baby died, you know, 2 days after she was born. It was a horrible experience. It was just horrible. And I had to weather that pretty much by myself. My mother just told me to get over it. I'll have another child. My husband and I were, and you know, it was bad. It was really bad. Mm-hmm. And so, but later, two of my best friends lost babies. I can remember one particularly saying, you know, I can talk to you, Kathy, because you really know how I feel. You know, I mean, the neighbors, the people that mean well, they're saying such hurtful things. And the other one says, Kathy, am I ever going to get over this? You know, you seem to be doing pretty well. It's been 5 years for you. I said, no, you never get over it. You just learn to live with it, you know, but it gets less. So you take your empathy, which is what you've learned, and it's valuable. Also to think now I'm not a victim anymore. I mean, you know, you have things happen to you and you say, geez, why is God doing this to me? You know, no. God doesn't do anything to anybody. We have free will. God loves us all unconditionally. We have free will to do what we want down here. We can make a plan and come down here and screw it up. It's just up to us. But there's really no wrong way to do Earth. You know, it's a tough gig. That's what I've heard. This is the toughest place to go. All of us are very brave souls to be down. Look around. This is a tough planet. But the good news is, you're going to go home and it's all going to be good.
You know, Kathy, I want to say, like, this is a wonderful and as much trauma as you had in your story, it's very beautiful in a sense of all the things that you were able to overcome in your life. I've had many discussions with people who have had an NDE or a near-death experience. And what's fascinating to me about it is that all of you guys, and girls sort of tell the same story, right? Now, your NDE might be different than someone else's experience, but everything you talk about in the afterlife, again, like you said, a little piece of the puzzle, but it still fits within that puzzle. The we plan this life before we come here. The we don't have to come back here. We can go anywhere to any planet, any, you know, galaxy, anything like that. And also the pure absorption of love in your soul, you know, when you have your glimpse of God, what God is to you. But one thing I wanted to ask you is one thing that I've heard is that karma record, right? The karma cycle and getting your karma to be offset through your past lives. And some believe that I've talked to that that's what your mission is. You have to learn things or pay your dues for other lives that you might have had to live in your soul. When you talk about karma, what do you mean by that?
Well, karma is just a term I don't totally understand, but a lot of people, I think you what you put out, you get back. If you share positive energy, that's going to like attracts like. If you go down a dark path, you're just going to keep bringing more darkness towards you. And I've been told too, I mean, that whole thing about energy can't be made or destroyed.
There
is negative energy. I just don't think God has anything to do with it. In the great cosmos or whatever we got out there, there's probably a place where the dark energy gathers, and you can go to that. I mean, some people just don't like to be good. You know, they enjoy being evil. So when they pass over, I would think, you know, they gravitate down there. I think people can be, redeemed is not the right word, but they can be saved if they want to. I think I'm told they can have that help if they have a change of heart, if they're tired of being in that area. They can be helped up. There's supposed to be different levels of energy. And, I'm not a scientist. I'm a writer. And all I can talk about is what I experienced and what I've been, you know, talked about with a myriad of other people. And like you, I've listened to how many other people's NDEs. Mm-hmm. And you're right. The thing about the conferences is there's, you know, I can't remember, like 500 people or more at these things. And the energy there is so positive that you don't want to go home. You know, you just can we all just stay another day because it's so up. And, you know, you would think if it was a bunch of dead people, they'd be scared to death to go back. But we can't wait. It's home. And
it's true. You guys have such wonderful positive energy. Cindy Simpson has a wonderful question. So when you were talking about how you manifested, you know, hell from what you believe is all the negativity, she wrote, so we need to always have positive thoughts so we don't create negativity upon death. What's your reaction to that?
I recommend it. I really do. And after I got back, I was so scared of going again. And it took months of prayer. And finally, God in his mercy sent me this saying. I said, you know, what do I need to do that's positive? I'm so sick of the thou shalt not. And he said, be loving and kind, merciful and forgiving, encouraging.
If I could just jump in, what would you say to the idea of, I'm tired of thinking positive all the damn time. Nothing happens. Nothing goes my way. This and that attitude. I'm tired of thinking positively. It's not going to help me. What would you say to somebody who has that mindset?
You've got free will, pal.
Yep.
You know, you're going to make your own nest.
So, you know, the power of positivity and positive thought. Do you think there's a little placebo effect? Do you think even if you don't feel that way, just think positive?
Well, what we say is it's all good.
Okay.
And if you can let go of the world, the news, I hardly ever watch the news. And I think if just to be sure that God loves you, period. is makes you so much lighter, and it's true. And there's so many of us that have been there and can't wait to get back. It's wonderful.
Do you think with your, you know, the negative things that happened in your life, do you think that's where your manifestation come from? You know what I mean? The bad things, is that where, did that lead you down a path of thinking negatively upon your death? Would you, you know, if we were to, you know, take a 1,000-foot view or an autopsy of it, do you think, you know, your hard life had, you know, created that for you?
No. Well, look, you know, it's so different before and after. Now I know I planned all those things. And I can see, you know, I'm 77 years old now. I can look back and see what good came out of those bad things. And hindsight's always 20/20. When you're in it, it's hard. But now when I'm in something like that, I really have to let it go and think, you know, Kathy, you planned that. Something good will happen. You know, trust that this is going to be okay. And it will be. I just know it will now. I don't have to have faith anymore. I know.
Well, I'm still a little confused.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody else is. I'm just a little confused. Like, your experience with the demons that you talked about, they weren't mm-hmm. real. They were just something in your mind that you created.
Everything is in our reality is not real. This is not real. It's a play.
What we're doing right now is not real. It's just television.
It's what's real to a human, but we're spirit. Mm-hmm. So when we choose to become incorporated into a body and live on a planet, we have to play by the rules. And in reality is what we understand this to be on a day-to-day basis. But the real reality is that this isn't the reality.
Somebody, who was it? Bashar, I don't know if you know he's a movie producer that when he was a child, a teenager, he came into a close encounter with a UFO.
Ooh.
And not once, but twice, but three times. And then he started to, he learned how to channel the alien.
Yeah.
And during one of his when he was channeling him, and he does like group, like sort of like what you went to, but there's, he's the speaker. Yeah. He's the alien. And he was telling through his, people could ask him questions. Cool. And then, they asked him, I think we talked about this, Tom. They asked him, what happens when you die? And he said, basically, it's like you wake up and say, wow, that was a really cool dream.
Yeah.
And that was reality.
Right.
See, I don't think that has to be different.
Yeah. That sounds fine to me. Yeah, you wake up. Yeah. And you're very happy. You're very happy.
Yeah. Cindy with the wonderful questions. Cindy, thank you so much for your questions. You always have great ones. Do you think maybe you didn't forgive and forget enough to keep you from the negative experience? Once you learned to be spiritual again, you accessed the amazing side of heaven.
Well, that's a good question. All I can say is I really think I was a pretty brave soul to choose to have this experience and not just die and go to heaven. I think I chose this experience so I can come back and tell people, don't be afraid to die. It's an illusion that there's, you know, a hell, that God is going to send you to hell. That's the message. God will not send you to hell. I think people, if I died, I'd just gone to heaven. I don't think I'd have gone to hell. I think that was something I chose so I could come back and tell people, skip the trip. Don't believe you're going to go to, don't believe that God's going to punish you when you die. Don't believe you have to pay. You don't. This is just a learning experience down here. God gave us free will. God's not going to do anything but love you.
Thank you for that, first of all. But can I ask, I guess, a theoretical question here. If you were unafraid to go to hell, wouldn't that be a dangerous message to have in this realm? You know?
Dangerous in that people will go do
well,
anything.
I don't have punishments. Want. Maybe I can go, yeah, kill somebody if I wanted to. No, you know what I mean?
Fine. The usual question is, what do you think happened to Hitler? And mm-hmm. if you ask any of us, we all got the same answer. He gets to experience and feel every bit of terror, horror, pain from every single person that he inflicted this upon and their families. And he's probably about halfway through his life review about it.
So do you think there is some level of atonement here, right?
But it's something that you've brought upon yourself.
When it's something you brought upon yourself.
Because you get to experience what your actions wrought.
Could your version of hell, instead of being a manifestation, have been your atonement?
My manifestation was an illusion.
Okay. Okay. So your manifestation.
God didn't make that. I made
okay.
that.
You made that.
And I think that if I died and stayed dead, I wouldn't have had that experience. Like I say, I think I chose that so I could come back. And help people. Not fear death. When we come back, a lot of us go work for hospice. And that's because I was jealous.
Really? I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. A high proportion of us do. I was so jealous that these people got to go home and I had to stay here.
Did you do that, or others?
A lot of people I've talked to say, I did too. I went to hospice, you know, because you want to tell people, don't be afraid. It's wonderful. I'd trade places with you in a minute. And I would tell people that, and they would relax and they'd get this joyous look on their faces. And one lady said, you know, she was crying because she'd never see her mom again. Yeah. She didn't believe in an afterlife. And I said, are you kidding? I says, of course you will. She'll look great. And your pets are there. Dogs, cats, parrots, you name it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's heaven. And so we can't even imagine. And I don't know. I was not alone in being told the horrors of hell my entire life. And if I did this, I was going to go to hell. And if I talked to sister like that, I was going to hell. Gosh darn it. When you hear that mm-hmm. from the time you're 7 years old, you kind of believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. Your brain's developing. It's an age that you hold a lot of things for your whole life around, you know, young adult developing or young child developing brains.
Yeah.
Bruce, I remember Bruce from last week. He has great questions as well. I believe awakening again or reincarnation is our task to relieve from our mistakes and atone for our mistakes. I don't think you go to heaven to atone for those mistakes. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. But no, you don't go to heaven to atone. But I think the life review takes care of it because you will atone by feeling all the pain and negativity that you put out. You will get to feel that again. And it's not going to feel good.
And you're not the first person I've heard that. You're not the first person I've heard that for the life review. I've heard others say, I'm thinking, oh crap, here's where, you know, but really it's more of a loving and you get to see how you're loved. You do have that aspect as well, but it's not a totally bad thing. Nicole, many religious people use hell as a threat to make others be moral. How does one get past that fear, even when you believe different?
It's hard. It's difficult. It's taken me 25 years to get, you know, since my experience and I still have pangs, you know, of, oh, geez. But then I think, you know what, I'm going to feel that pain. And maybe I guess, you know, I don't do things like thoughtlessly, like I used to, you know, I think about things. Is this a loving thing? Is this a kind thing? If that's all you remember is to be loving and kind, your whole world changes. Mm-hmm. We just have to try. We can't be perfect. We're human. We're not supposed to be perfect. We're just supposed to try.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. And she mentions, as you said, the threat of hell is pushed down your throat.
It is.
Nicole, best middle name ever. Good middle name there. But yeah, it is. Yeah. And it is. And it's not just in the religious realm, too. It's also society-based. You know what I mean? Most laws are based off the Ten Commandments. And honestly, do you even need those? Because if you didn't, you know what's right and wrong and you feel it. You feel it in here, right? You know what I mean? Whether something's right or wrong. Something could be legally right, but you feel it's still wrong.
It's moral.
You know what I mean? That's our moral compass, if you will. But she's absolutely right. It's hard not to project if I'm going to heaven or hell, because it's the biggest unknown and your last thought before you pass.
Well, you know, I just encourage people, if you are in a religion, a situation where people are telling you that, I suggest that you think about that very deeply and watch a bunch of these NDE things and get the hell out of that place. You know, you're inviting negativity and from what other people think. It's not what's true. I say run.
Run.
If I just have one quick question, Kathy. For anyone who's watching, streaming, commenting, have you seen anything in media that would be a good representation of what you were talking about? Maybe if they wanted more information, they should watch this documentary, this show. Do you have anything, any suggestions for anyone?
Yeah, there's a number of things on YouTube now, and through Ions and through, I like this, the new company, The Angel. People are putting out films that are thoughtful. I just saw Mother Cabrini or whatever that was. Wow, that'll knock your socks off. I mean, it's a wonderful film. I highly recommend it. And anything they put out now, I'm going to watch.
Yeah, but
the more positive things, start putting your energy into that instead of
things. We're going to take one more question from Bruce. And then we're going to call it. Okay. There's so many, they're coming in. Do you believe people like Hitler were real people or out here to see how others would react? I believe there are entities that are out there and see how they ret. I'm not sure what he means.
Negativity or evil, or these people might have invited that in. You know, they like the power, or they were like, Hitler was abused as a child. Who knows? That's a great question, Bruce.
I do wonder about that, if they're more negative than man, you know, more negative energy than man anymore at that point.
And Cindy, one more. Cindy, go ahead, Tom.
Cindy, do you still communicate with God since death? Do you have more or less communication?
A lot more. It's talking, you know, prayer is just talking to God, and not only to God, to deceased relatives. Me and my dad, he died 3 years ago of COVID. We talk all the time. You know, people are, you talk to your spirits and they're right there. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It's really easy. Wonderful. They're waiting for you to say their name and, mm-hmm. you know, and ask them to get in the car and go to the store with you. They're there. Yeah.
Great question, Cindy. Bruce and Nicole, great questions.
Yeah, everybody. Thank you for all the comments and questions. Where can people find you, Kathy, if they want to learn more about you and your story?
Yeah, the website is the same name as the book, www.misfitinhelltoheavenexpat.com. And the book's for sale on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or anywhere. It's not a downer book. It's my memoir. It tells about my story before, during, and after. There's a lot of humor in it. And maybe something that could be useful to you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It was very enlightening. And
thank you.
Have a great night.
Thanks again. So much. Take care.
Bye-bye. Well, that was really interesting. What do you think?
Very interesting. I've talked to a number of NDEers, and you either... there is no medium ground with them. It's either you believe them or you don't. And I have to, being in this community, I have to take a skeptical approach to every single person, you know, every single thing, because I owe that to the group. Mm-hmm. But one thing I can't get around is, man, they say the same thing. You know, they all have the same story that keeps coming back to the same things. The Akashic record, the life review, the all-knowing lifting up of love, you know. Mm-hmm. And now hers was a little bit different in terms of I manifested hell versus hell as a real mm-hmm. place. I've talked to people who have passed on and came back and you know, through their travels is saying that going into the light is almost this is exactly the speed of light. And, you know, getting into the fifth dimension is the lowest level of hell. And then you can go up from there. Mm-hmm. So she didn't say anything about that in terms of dimension, but I have heard from others that hell is actually a real place. It's, you know, God wants your soul, or whatever your definition is, wants your soul, mm-hmm. and the anti-God, so devil, whatever, you know, you want to call him from religion, wants your soul. And as long as you don't give your soul to the devil, you will go to heaven and then atone for mistakes to get higher and higher levels of heaven. So there was a little difference there. I believe, and it's her story and she can, you know, believe anything she wants. It definitely sounds like maybe there was some atonement, you know what I mean? And I understand that we sign up for, you know, from what she believes, you sign up for this mm-hmm. life before you get there. I'm coming around still on that. I think maybe if anything, you would have general guidelines, but not a correct way to live your life. Cause who would sign up for all of that if you're in eternal bliss? Yeah. I've heard of coming back from hell to get your life in order. See, at that rate, why bother?
Yeah, really, why bother?
Not to be down or anything, you know, what do you, you know, you're it's going, I can understand that, right? I can understand, you know, hey, you're going to be here if you don't do X, Y, or Z, but I don't think you're the factor in that point. You need to do X, Y, or Z for other people, not for yourself.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
And getting back to like the Catholic Catholicism and stuff like that, I was raised, you know, you follow the Ten Commandments.
I'm Catholic too.
You know, I don't, you know, if you kill, you're going to go to hell.
Yeah.
Unless God forgives you. And I'm sure he can, but I don't know. I just feel like you have to have some kind of, you know, morals, and you can't be a, like you can't be a mean, disgusting person and do horrible things and expect to go to heaven, but you know that there's a possibility if you.
And that's why I asked that, Jenny, you know, that's why I asked that one question, was because don't you think that's a dangerous precedent to set, that there is no.
Yeah. Hell? There's consequences, but if you are here forgiving, you know, like you see these people on death row and they found God at the last minute, it's up to God to forgive you. It's up to God. So we can't,
I agree with that. It has nothing to do with you or me.
But let's move on. We have a couple minutes left.
Sure.
What were you, you said that we were talking about that UFO that you over, Rush. Where was it? Ukraine?
Rush. Oh, that Ukraine one. Yes. There's a wicked, wicked story out of Ukraine about. Man, if this thing, all right, let me say, if this is CGI, this guy belongs in like Disney Studios or like, you know, 20th century, because this is a hell of an amateur job if they did it. But there's this gigantic UFO out of Ukraine story that, you know, everybody knows what's going on in Ukraine. Who's making up UFO stories if they're not real at this point? But please go search it. Go check it out.
Tell them, where can they find you? Remember where you
Daily Mail dot UK. So or Google Ukraine UFO. It happened just a few days ago. There's also another story coming out of Oklahoma City. The gentleman's doing his rounds. I've reached out to him. If he gets back, he's more than welcome to come on here. But News Nation, major news outlets, a really odd aerial phenomenon. Let's call this one a UAP. It's a light. It gives off a circular, like almost how some cigarette or cigar smokers can blow a ring. It almost looks like that. However, they were saying it's a SpaceX rocket, but to debunk that, the only SpaceX rocket to launch at that time would be Florida. So let's do geography, Florida to Oklahoma. Let's see if you could even see it. But even if it was that one, it was in the opposite side. Like it wasn't in the southeast sky. It was in the northwest sky, which doesn't make any sense, because then it would have to take even longer to get into that direction over there. And the launch was only an hour, you know, prior. Mm-hmm. So even if it was that, it would have been up and into orbit, not meddling around over, you know, Oklahoma. So please check that one out. TikTok, you can find that. Bruce, very good point. I've heard UFOs are more active when we go to war. I've heard the same thing. I don't know if this is a Guardian situation or they want to study what the primates do on Earth when they get mad at each other. But some people do believe that UFOs are interdimensional and they live on the same realm. So they're here to protect the planet more so than us. And if we nuke the hell out of each other, you're not going to have a planet to live on in any realm. But that's a very good point, Bruce, because I have heard that one as well.
Yeah, we're going to have to pick this up next week because we have our Leslie Shaw on, and we're going to talk about all kind of UFOs and weird stuff next week. So just make sure you check us out next week, same time, same channel. Okay. But it's great to have you all here tonight, and I hope to see you next night and next week. And here we go.